Good morning. It is good to be together this morning as a church family. Before we get into our lesson, there's a couple things that I would like to mention. The first thing that I would like to mention is Happy Easter. I want to wish each and every one of you a very happy Easter. I hope that today is a great day for you and your family in so many different ways. There are so many people today who are only thinking about things like bunnies, eggs, chocolate, candy. Isn't it awesome that there are so many people in our world today who are thinking about and acknowledging the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That doesn't happen every day. That's not an opportunity that we have all the time. If there are so many people in our world who are thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ today, my question is, why wouldn't we? So that's where we're going to go in just a few moments as we spend some time in the Word of God together. We're going to think about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus in our lives on a daily basis. We're going to think about all of the indescribable blessings that we are able to claim simply because He lives. The second thing that I would like to mention before we get into our lesson is something that I'm really excited about. This morning, we're beginning a series of lessons on Sunday mornings that we're going to entitle Lessons from Lyrics. When we come together as the body of Christ, we spend a great amount of our time in song, praising our God, recognizing how worthy He is of our worship. What kind of lessons should we learn from the songs that we sing? I think that's an important question for us to ask. I think that's an important question for us to answer because that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. When you look at passages like Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we're supposed to allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. We're supposed to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. We're supposed to learn lessons from Scripture from the songs that we sing. While we're not going to go through the songs line by line, we're not going to go through the songs verse by verse, what we are going to do is we're going to look at some general ideas, we're going to look at some passages of Scripture that these songs are rooted in, and I hope that by doing that, we'll be able to grow in our relationships with God. I hope that by doing that, we're going to be able to grow in our love for Jesus and our faithfulness and dedication to Him on a daily basis. So if you have your Bible with you today, I'd love for you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have your copy of God's Word, I'd love for you to get it out and turn with me to verses 12 through 20 of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. That's where we're going to begin in just a moment. Abraham Lincoln is arguably one of the most important, one of the most influential individuals in American history. He was born in 1809. He became a lawyer in adulthood. He served in the Illinois House of Representatives, then later on in the United States House of Representatives. In 1860, he was elected as president. Serving as president during the time of the Civil War and everything associated with that, he was reelected to a second term in 1864. It was on April the 14th of 1865 when Abraham Lincoln and his wife Mary were attending Ford's Theater. They were watching a show together. It was on that night when he was assassinated by a man named John Wilkes Booth. About 3.5 weeks later, Abraham Lincoln's body was buried in Springfield, Illinois. While his legacy continues on to this day, that's where his story in history ended. I think you would agree with me in saying that Abraham Lincoln accomplished a number of great things. He did a number of amazing things throughout his life, serving as president during perhaps the most difficult and divisive time that our nation has ever seen, giving speeches that are still known today, like the Emancipation Proclamation or the Gettysburg Address. The list could go on and on. He accomplished a number of amazing things. But when he drew his last breath and his body was buried in the ground, that's where his story in history ended. Aren't we thankful that wasn't the case with our Lord Jesus Christ? When we read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as you know, we read about the story of Jesus. We read about his miraculous birth. We read about his perfect life and ministry. Ultimately, we come to the point where we read about his suffering, his death on the cross on our behalf because of the sins that we have committed. We experience the silence of God as Jesus' beaten and bloodied corpse is placed inside of a tomb and it lays there for 3 days. Aren't we thankful that unlike everyone else in history, that wasn't the end of Jesus' story? Thanks be to God that Jesus Christ was raised up on the third day. Thanks be to God that Jesus Christ defeated death on that glorious first day of the week. Thanks be to God for the empty tomb. Thanks be to God for the words of Matthew 28 and verse 6, "He is not here, for he has risen." That's what I want us to spend some time thinking about. As we said just a few moments ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20, let's spend some time thinking about the importance of the resurrection. The resurrection is the single most important event that has ever taken place in the history of the world. Let's spend some time today thinking about the indescribable, the amazing, the beautiful blessings that you and I are able to claim on a daily basis simply because He lives. That's what Paul is talking about in this passage. When we study in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20, as I'm sure many of you are well aware, when you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, you find there were a lot of different problems that existed within the church at Corinth. One of those problems, as Paul addresses them one by one, as Paul goes through them throughout the 16 chapters of this book, one of them is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 12. If you have your Bible open, notice that there were some Christians in the church at Corinth who were claiming, who believed that there would be no resurrection at the end of time. They were teaching other people that there would be no resurrection from the dead. So Paul takes that thought, he takes that teaching, and brings it to its logical extreme. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then guess what? That means Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead. And so Paul takes a step forward to say, if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, then let me show you what that means for your life. Let me show you what kind of impact that has on you on a daily basis. But see, the reverse of that is also true. The flip side of that coin is also true. Jesus has been raised. Jesus was raised up by the power of God on the third day. And so as we read through this passage, let's think about what's true in our lives because of that great and significant event. Let's think about all of the blessings that we are able to claim. Number one, because He lives, because Jesus was raised up on the third day, our preaching is productive. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 14. Notice the Bible says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. That word there for vain, it refers to something that's hollow. It refers to something that's empty. It refers to something that doesn't have any substance. Let's illustrate that with something that maybe some of you experience today. On Easter, there are two different kinds of chocolate bunnies that you can get. Are you aware of this? One of them is so much better than the other one. I'm not trying to start any debates or trying to start any arguments, but in my opinion, one of them is so much better than the other. In your Easter basket, you can get a chocolate bunny that's solid. It's chocolate all the way through. It's a big old hunk of milk chocolate. You're probably going to have to gnaw on it for 2 weeks for it to go all the way through. I believe that's the best kind. What about you? Do you agree with me? There's another kind of chocolate bunny that you can get. It's not solid, it's hollow. When you take a bite into it, there's not chocolate inside of it. In fact, there's nothing inside of it except for air. It doesn't have any substance. It looks really good on the outside. It looks like a bunny on the outside, but it has nothing. It's empty on the inside. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14 that if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then that's what our preaching is like. It's empty. It's hollow. If the tomb is not empty, if Jesus' body is still lying in a tomb somewhere, our preaching might sound good to the ear. It might look good on the outside, but break it open and you're going to find that there's absolutely nothing to it. It's in vain, it's hollow, it's empty, it's useless. He makes a similar statement when you drop down into the next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 15, that if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, then we're liars. We're deceiving people when we are proclaiming that Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. Here's how Paul lays that out for the church at Corinth. He says, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then that means Jesus has not been raised from the dead. Well, a significant part of the gospel message that he talks about a little bit earlier in this chapter, is that Jesus did rise from the dead. That's the message we propagate. That's the message that we proclaim. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then we're liars. We're deceiving people. The way that he says it in verse 15 is that we are found to be misrepresenting God. What if Jesus didn't raise from the dead? Look at what it does to our preaching. Our preaching is in vain. It's hollow, it's empty, it has no substance. We're misrepresenting God. We're lying, we're deceiving people if the tomb is not empty. But because he lives, because Jesus did rise from the dead on the third day, our preaching is not in vain. Our preaching is productive. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. Our preaching is not hollow. Our preaching is not empty. Our preaching is powerful. It has the power to change people's lives. It has the power to transform people at the heart level, a transformation from the inside out. Because Jesus lives, we can know that the message that we proclaim is 100% true. Jesus says you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. John 8 and verse 32, that is rooted in the reality of his resurrection. Number two, because he lives, our faith is priceless. You continue reading in chapter 15 and verse number 14, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, just like our preaching is in vain, he says in verse 14 that our faith is in vain. Like that hollow bunny that we looked at just a few moments ago, if Jesus and if his body is still in a tomb somewhere, if he didn't rise from the dead on the third day, then our faith is empty. It's hollow. It has no substance. Think about everything that we've devoted our lives to. There's nothing to it if Jesus did not rise from the grave. A similar statement, once again, is found about our faith in chapter 15 and verse number 17, that if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. That word for futile refers to something that's pointless. It refers to something that is meaningless. There's no point in becoming a Christian if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. There's no point in living the Christian life if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. There's no point in loving God with everything that you have or loving your neighbor as you love yourself if Jesus did not rise from the dead. There's no point in serving people if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. There's no point in placing your faith, placing your trust in the Lord, even in difficult times, if Jesus did not rise from the dead. If Jesus did not rise, our faith, it's in vain. It's empty, it's hollow, it's without substance, it's futile, it's meaningless, it's pointless. But because he lives, because Jesus did rise on the third day, our faith is priceless. Our faith is a treasure. Because he lives, there's nothing that has more weight, there's nothing that has more value. There's nothing that has more importance. There's nothing that has more significance in this entire world than the faith and place that we trust in our Savior. Number three, because he lives, because Jesus was raised on the third day, verse 17 teaches us that we have escaped our sins. Just a moment ago, we only read half of that verse. Notice what he says as he continues, that if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And watch this, you are still in your sins. You and I can think back on all the sins that we've committed in the past, can't we? We can think about the sins that we continue to commit in the present, as was mentioned just a few moments ago. You and I can remember and think about all the times that we've chosen to rebel against our Creator. If Jesus wasn't raised on the third day, then we're still in those sins. Those sins are still staining us. Those sins are condemning us, not only in this life, but also as we look forward to the next life. If Jesus hasn't been raised, then His redemptive work on the cross has no power in our lives on a daily basis. See, in order for there to be power in the blood, there has to be an empty tomb. Thanks be to God that there is an empty tomb. Because He lives, because Jesus was raised on the third day, we're no longer living in our sins. Instead, we have escaped our sins. Because He lives, we can have confidence and comfort knowing that we've experienced the sweet and amazing grace, mercy, and forgiveness of our God. Because He lives, we can know that the sins we've committed have been covered and washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Because He lives, we don't have to feel guilty about those wrong decisions that we've made in the past. Because He lives, our sins that remain in our minds have been erased from the mind of God as if they never even happened in the first place. It's all because He lives. Number four, because He lives, because Jesus was raised on the third day, Christians who have died are living right now. Look at the statement that Paul makes in verse number 18. The idea is that continues into this verse is if Christ didn't raise, then those who also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. When a brother or sister in Christ passes away, that's something that's very painful. That's something that's very difficult for us to deal with, especially if that brother or sister in Christ was a close friend or a relative or a family member. It's something that absolutely breaks our hearts. But as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, when we think about those Christians who have gone on before us, we don't grieve as others do who have no hope. We grieve, but not like people in the world, not as others do who have no hope. When we think about Christians who have gone on before us, we can be comforted knowing that we're going to see them again. One day we're going to be reunited with them. We can be comforted knowing that they've passed on from the brokenness and the sinfulness and the pain of this world that we live in. Even more than that, we can be comforted knowing that right now they are in the presence of the Lord. As Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 1, he says to live is Christ, but to die is gain, because he knew that when he left this world, he was going to go be with Christ. We can be comforted when we think about Christians who have gone on before us, because right now they're experiencing something so amazing that we can't even imagine it. We can't even put it into words. But what if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? If Jesus was not raised from the dead on the third day, if Jesus is not living today, then those in Christ who have passed on before us, they've perished. They're gone. All that they experienced was this life, and now they're no longer in existence. But because He lives, because Jesus was raised on the third day, Christians who have died right now are living. They haven't perished. They're living. We can be confident that we're going to see them again. One day we're going to be reunited with them in heaven. We can be confident that they've passed on from the brokenness of this world to something so much better. We can be confident that right now they are living in the presence of the Lord, experiencing what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, or the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Because He lives, Christians who have passed on before us are continuing to live. But what about us? What about our eternity for those who continue to live on earth today? Well, number five, because He lives, because Jesus was raised on the third day, we have hope for eternal life. Drop down into verse number 19, where Paul talks about if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, then in Christ we have hope in this life only. If Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, then what many ancients put on their tombstones in antiquity is true in our lives. I was not, I was, I am not, I care not. That's our story. That's our reality. If Jesus and His body is still somewhere inside of a tomb, if Jesus did not rise on the third day, I was not, I hadn't been born yet, I was, I lived, I'm not, I died, I care not, nobody cares because I'm gone, I've perished, as we saw in the verse right before this one. If Jesus has not been raised, then we don't have hope for anything after this life, and we don't have hope for anything better than this life. But because He lives, because Jesus was raised on the third day, we have hope for eternal life. We have an eager desire, an eager expectation that one day we're going to see the face of our Lord and live with Him eternally. It's the hope that Peter talks about in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, the living hope that's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The only reason that our hope is living today is because Jesus is living. Our hope is living through the resurrection of Christ. What's it for in verse 4? It's an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, that's being kept or reserved in heaven for us. We are able to have that living hope because Jesus is living today. Number 6, because Jesus lives, because Jesus was raised on the third day, we need to know that the Christian life is the best life that anybody could ever live. You look in chapter 15 and verse number 19, let's finish the thought. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, Paul says, we are of all people to be most pitied. I don't know about you, but I can think about some pretty pitiful situations that people find themselves in this life. Situations that break our hearts. Situations that cause our hearts and minds to be flooded with compassion because we know those people are struggling. We know that those situations are so difficult. I think about children who are starving, children who are hungry. I think about homes that are broken. I think about families who are grieving the loss of a loved one. I think about families who have lost everything that they have, everything that they possess in some kind of natural disaster. Sometimes in this life, people find themselves in very pitiful situations. You want to know something that's more pitiful than all of those situations put together? Become a Christian. Live your life as a Christian. Give God everything that you have. And then come to realize that Jesus didn't rise on the third day. Paul says if we have hope in Christ in this life only, verse 19, we are of all people, not some people. Not most people. We are of all people most to be pitied. Because everything that we've devoted our lives to is a lie. Everything that we've devoted our lives to is absolutely nothing if Jesus did not rise on that glorious first day of the week. But because He lives, because Jesus was raised on the third day, we should not be pitied as Christians. We should instead recognize that the Christian life is the best life that anyone could ever live. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's what's found in the life that's connected to Jesus, a life that is so very in love with Jesus. There are a lot of different lives that you can choose to live. There are a lot of different ways that you can choose to go. There are a lot of different paths that you can walk down in this life. Paul tells us in chapter 15 and verse 19 that the Christian life is the best one. The Christian life is the best life that a person could ever live, and it's all because He lives. And then finally, number 7, because He lives, because Jesus was raised on the third day, we can know that one day we will be raised. This is what our hope is all about. This is what Paul is going to spend the rest of his time talking about as we read throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because Jesus was raised on the third day, we can know that if we die before He returns, we're going to be raised in the very same way. Paul uses a metaphor from agriculture in order to describe that reality to us. The idea of first fruits. When farmers go out to plant their crops, there's always going to be a first fruit. The first crop to yield its fruit. The first crop to give its fruit. What does that first fruit tell you? That's the only fruit we're going to get. It's the first one that has yielded its fruit, and I think that's all we're going to get this harvest season. That's not the message at all. When you see the first fruit, you know that the harvest is coming. When you see the first fruit, you know that other fruit is not going to be far behind. Paul says in chapter 15 and verse number 20 that if Christ has in fact been raised from the dead, then He is the first fruit among those who have fallen asleep. Jesus Christ has been raised to never die again, the only person to ever experience that thus far. Is that going to remain unique to him, though? Is he the only one who's ever going to experience that beautiful reality? No, Jesus is the first fruit. Because Jesus was raised to never die again, we can be confident that one day we're going to be raised to never die again. It will be on that day when he will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. It'll be on that day when Jesus returns, when he descends from the heavens, that the dead in Christ will rise. They'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And from that point forward, always be with the Lord. If we die, if we pass on before the Lord returns, because he lives, we can know that one day we will live to never die again. Death does not win in the end. Death will not be victorious. Our Lord Jesus, the resurrected King, will be victorious as he raises us up on the last day. It's all because he lives. This is the single most important event in the history of mankind. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's because he lives that our preaching is productive. So what are we going to do with the message? Let's share this message with those who are lost. Let's share this message with those who don't know it. It's because he lives that our faith is priceless. So let's treasure it. Let's hold on to it. Let's allow it to direct everything that we do. It's because he lives that we have escaped our sins. Let's live in comfort and confidence, knowing that our sins have been erased, knowing that our sins have been forgiven. It's because he lives that Christians who have died are living. I hope that comforts us as we find ourselves grieving over the loss of individuals, brothers and sisters in Christ who we love. May we be comforted by the thought that one day we'll see them again and that right now they are living in the presence of the Lord. It's because he lives that we have hope for eternal life. This life is not all there is. We're waiting for something that's after this life. We're waiting for something better than this life. It's because he lives that the Christian life is the best life. So let's live it. Let's be serious about it. Let's be passionate about it. Let's be intentional about it. It's because he lives that we will live one day in the resurrection. And what a beautiful reality that is. Without the resurrection of Jesus, can you see it? We would have nothing and we would be nothing. But it's because he lives that I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth living just because he lives. Can you sing that song confidently this morning? Do you have that confidence in Jesus, in your relationship with him? If there are some doubts there, some troubles there, if there's sin that you're struggling with, we'd love to help you. We love to encourage you, pray with you, study the scriptures with you, anything that we can do. Just make that need known as together we stand and sing.